What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Mike here, your host. Like always, thanking you guys for tuning in and bringing in that love, that consistency that you guys do on a week in, week out basis. I've always told you guys that I've been very transparent how the Mac Effect is something that is a project of mine that continues to heal something internally. But hopefully, as I'm healing, it's wakening something up in you as well so that we can continue to grow and just develop ourselves, guys. Because as we get better, the relationships around us get better as well. With that said, guys, on this week's episode, I ask God, what guests, what people do I want to bring over? And I have a friend, guys, that I haven't spoken to him in a while. And quite frankly, I don't even know a lot of the details of his history, is like where he comes from, where he grew up, what were his upbringings. But one thing that connects us is the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why when I felt, God, him, you're sure? Yes. And I have him here for you guys to have a great conversation that I know is going to inspire you. But at the end of the day, before inspiration, I just pray that God at least gives you a nice warm hug so that you feel his presence through the conversations that we're having. So with that said, my honor, my pleasure to bring to you guys Prince Purpose.
Hallelujah.
Bless What's up, my brother?
Jesus, my bro.
Thanks for coming, bro.
Appreciate you having me, man. God, yeah. In your home.
Yeah, thank
Beautiful
you.
Home.
Thank you.
God's peace is here and, a son of God is here. So I'm honored to be here with you, man of God.
No, thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you so much, God, to be here in your presence, God, where the fullness of joy is. I thank you so much, Lord God, for my brother Mike and for his family, for the call of God that's on his life, for the impact of the Mac Effect, Lord God, on the earth. I thank you, Lord God, that people are touched and blessed by this conversation. I ask, God, that you just have your way in every way, Lord. Allow there to be words that inspire, words that encourage, words that move heaven on earth. Lord, where you said it's your desire that your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven, God. We ask that your will in heaven be done here on earth. Yes. Lord, use our mouths and our minds as we consecrate this time unto you. Make it holy. Fill it with wisdom, with revelation, with healing, with transformation. And bless it, God. Whatever you bless is simply blessed. No man can curse it. We speak your presence here, your favor here, your joy here, your peace here, your healing, your shalom, God. Wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness, complete peace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
The ball's in your court.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you.
Brother Mike. what up?
Thank you, brother. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring you is because quickly right away, Prince, and I mean this not to butter you up, I mean it with a lot of love, your presence, bro. Mm. Like, when you walked in, you started praying for the place. Mm. And for me, as a guy that believes in the Lord and knows that, we need to put him first, and I'm not a perfect man. I fail him. Prince, I say bad words. I am a sinner. But when you walked in and did that, for me as a man, dude, it's an honor to know that there's men out there that understand their calling. And you understand your calling, brother. That's one thing that I love about you is that you understood I'm going to serve the Lord above all. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want money like everyone else. I need a roof over my head. There's so many things, variables, right? But before all those things, you've always known to serve the Lord. Mm. Brother, what motivates you to continue to serve the Lord?
I think the Lord, I think it's wisdom to put it on God.
Yeah.
The burden is his. He says, my yoke is easy. my burden is light. You know, the burden of man is not only unbearable, it's just, it's foolishness, man. I mean, you shared a testimony before we got on the podcast today about, you know, someone you love that, man, without going into too much detail, I'll just say I personally know people who are burdened with the burden of this world rather than the burden of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it causes lunacy, right? It's literally madness. You will lack the peace of God, and the decisions that you make outside of yielding your will and your service to the Lord is frantic, and it's not your call. It's not yours. It's not your burden. That burden doesn't belong to you. It's like trying to put something on that, you know, it's like you trying to put on your baby's clothes or something, like, you know what I mean? It's not going to fit you.
Yeah.
It's not designed for you.
Yeah.
And the burden is not like, the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's, you know, whatever he has entrusted to us, be it good things or challenging things. I'll verbalize it that way. If we realize that it belongs to the Lord, we won't feel this anxious. The Bible says, anxious for nothing. All things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace that surpasses all human understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the rap version, but that's the scripture.
Yes, amen, right? Amen.
Thanksgiving, peace, being grateful, knowing that if there's anything good that we have or that comes into our life, it's from God, you know, and why not just meditate on that?
Yeah, amen.
There's a scripture that says, focus on the things that are lovely, that are true, that are pure, that are just, that are of a good report, that are praiseworthy. You know, if we keep our minds and our hearts focused on those things, when hardships come and things that are challenging come in our direction,
be a little bit easier to handle.
Yeah.
But kind of touching bases on what you just said right now, because we kind of jumped in, we're skipping a little part, but hey, this is where the Holy Spirit is leading it, and this is where the Holy Spirit is leading it. Look.
Hallelujah. Yes, God.
And we live in a world, Prince, where unfortunately it encourages people to be their own God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about me. It's about my heart. I deserve it. I work so hard. I. And one of the things that you mentioned, you know, it's like, it sounds so easy. Like to say the words, give it to God and just trust him. Like it's not yours, it's his. Man, it's hard. Why is it so hard to believe that word, to believe God and say, like, to say, hey, you know, I'm going through this difficult time and I'm heartbroken, I'm devastated, I'm shocked, I'm betrayed, like all these things. But it's like, you're right in saying it, like, dude, if you only knew, give it to the guy that it belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel living in a world where it's like, I mean, I see it. I don't know if you see it, but it's like there's a lot of idolizing and it became about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the endemic nature is how I separate it too. So you have a nature that you inherited through Adam. And until that nature, and this is, let me bring clarity to what I mean by nature. What I mean by nature is your initial reaction, like what you immediately default to.
Mm.
It's your internal programming to preserve. My wife said this yesterday. She said, the flesh hates to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, that's why there's a scripture in the Gospel of Mark, in the 9th chapter, it says that this kind of demon was a man who had a demon-possessed child, and the disciples could not cast it out. He said that this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Now, fasting is a forced suffering upon the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love suffers long and is kind. 1 Corinthians 13 is explicating the nature, the default character of God.
So good.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious, boastful, rude, or proud at any time. It doesn't seek its own, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never fails. It'll lead you home. Come on. It's all of those things combined that make God, but they are inherently the opposite of the nature of man.
Yeah.
And when I say man, I mean the unredeemed man, because when you look at love, you look at who? You look at God. You look at Jesus, you know, who is the actual incarnate. He is the God-man, fully God, fully man, and manifested himself to us in the form of love.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there's two things that I'm taking from that. One, as I'm listening to you, it's a confirmation, guys, of what I've shared in the past with you guys. God has been taking me to a place where he's told me, you need to, I want to memorize scripture, but it's not memorizing, it's making sure scripture is home. Mm-hmm. And there's Bible verses that I'm already, you know, every day I'm kind of going over them, because when certain thoughts come in my head, I need to fight these thoughts with biblical truth. And knowledge, that's the first thing that God's giving me right now as I'm speaking to you. Knowledge helps you fight the lies that are being brought to you. Number two is knowledge, because you've put in your homework. I mean, right now you've already said some stuff that it's like, whoa, you have to slow it down, at least for me. I'm eating it. I'm digesting it little by little. I'm understanding it. But what God is showing me is, number two is that knowledge at some point will build confidence as well, because you speak from maybe not your understanding, but just understanding that he will back that word up 100% of the time. We kind of just jumped into this, but Prince, like, I want to know a little bit more of your background. I want, you know, I remember when I met you, you know, there was these like worship nights that we would have, an amazing, I met a tremendous amount of people. Obviously, you love to, you're an artist, you sing, you love art, you love, you know, looking at the beauty of how this and this and this and this comes together to make something. Like, I can see that, and I'm learning that myself, to be quite frank. But I want to know a little bit more about you. You know, where did Prince grow up? What was his surroundings, his neighborhoods? You know, stuff like that.
I am originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
Same place. Actually, J. Cole and I went to rival high schools. It depends wherever you're from. Typically, you have like a rival high school.
Right? Yes.
So, and we like part of the same class, like graduating class. A lot of people, a lot of friends of mine are like affiliated. Anyway, from the same little town in North Carolina. Yes, it's the same place. I have had many experiences with hardship throughout my life. One of them being the one that I contribute to really putting my eyes on eternity, which was the loss of my father.
How old were you when you were?
I was 20.
20
and I
years
skipped
old.
A lot of steps. You know, I mentioned Fayetteville because it's nothing like where we live right now, or where I live right now. You know, you're very close to it, but Los Angeles, California. I've lived in LA for quite some time.
Yeah.
But growing up in Fayetteville, it's a small town, ghetto town, you know, hood place.
Did you guys grow up humble?
I had a father who was my father before I skipped steps a bit, but my father, who was in the military,
okay,
had a tough life. He was Dominican, grew up in the Dominican Republic, moved to the Bronx when he was a teenager. He was a recalcitrant child. You know, he was a runaway. He was abused. So I say all that to say he had a lot of issues. in the military, I feel like, especially in those times, 80s, you know what I mean, or late 70s, 80s, 90s, that sort of era, it was just a different time, you know. So he had of like he had a lot of undeveloped
characteristics,
communication, I guess,
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to I'm sure we may get into that, but communication is just like very crucial. Understanding on how to communicate your feelings allows you to get healing.
Correct.
From the past, you know,
and at that time, and even till today, to be quite frank with you, Prince, a lot of people lack emotional intelligence.
Yes. Come on. That's exactly, that was my experience as a child. You know, my father was like the most hardworking man. This is a lot of people's testimony that I know. They have a father who, you know, provided,
mm-hmm.
but maybe wasn't there.
Correct. Emotionally.
Just present.
Yep.
You know, they've got things that are in their heads and in their hearts that they have not yet learned to express.
Correct.
And so if you can't express a thing, I got this. This is some information. I'm working on a project called God's Company. And in this project, it deals with the life of an addict, right? And the life of addicts in whole. I found out that addiction, like alcoholism and drug addiction, is actually a disease. Addiction is a character trait. It's a disease. Mm. But the only way to begin treatment of that disease is to admit that you are an addict. So if you never admit it, then it's like you never have it. Mm-hmm. So in order to receive healing, mm-hmm. you have to first admit
yep.
that you have a problem, that you need healing, mm-hmm. that there's brokenness. But if you're unwilling to admit, then you are incapable of receiving the healing that's necessary
yep.
to make you whole.
Yeah, that's right.
And my father.
I look at the camera because I'm like, that's what I've shared with you guys in the past.
Yes.
So it's just confirmation.
And you know, when I think about it, so one of the things I was taught, and I expound on this in the book, if I can.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I was bringing this up, guys.
I didn't want to bring it up too early, but it's in there. It's in elaborate detail, you know, close to, 300 pages or so. And it's just full of God's wisdom. But one of those things that are in there is the fact that when I was a child, my father... he told me never to kneel to anyone, you know, like, I do push-ups. Like I can knock out a lot of push-ups because as a child, like I was treated like a little soldier, you know.
Your dad had that background. So yes. He was like,
but I
could tell it.
It
was tough love.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, you know, he loved too. He loved really strong. Yet, I was asked to never kneel. Like even when I do push-ups, I don't get on my knees like ever. Like I don't let my knees touch the ground. I get up when I stand up, I stand, everything's always on my feet because I had this subconscious thing.
Interesting.
Right. So when I was really introduced to Jesus in a real way, I realized that, oh, I have to like bow to this man. I have to kneel to this man. I was taught to never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, there's a place in humility that you have to reach because love is humble, you know? Mm-hmm. Jesus is known as the humble king.
Yeah.
You know, in order to receive healing, there has to be this humility.
That's right.
And until you do that, you won't get the healing. Let me go back to where I was with my father. So I say all that to say there was a need for healing there, right? And again, I expound on this in the book. Then he got together with my mother. My mother had me at 17. They got married and she basically gave birth to me. She was just 18 years old. She was with me in high school. So I say all that to say she was a child having a child,
yep,
you know?
Yep,
so absolutely. She was raising a baby, you know, and she was a baby.
Herself,
and,
correct.
And my father wasn't, he was a little older than her, but really he didn't have a lot of guidance himself either. So I say all that to say they were doing their best and they did, I believe, a great job because they did, now that I'm older, I understand they did a lot, you know? My father, when he passed, he was he's 43 years old, you know, and I'm looking at my life, I'm like, wow, I was almost graduating high school and my father was already, he was my age, you know what I'm saying? Like this, he was doing a lot. So I credit him for his tenacity and his vigor, his strength.
Amen.
He was a man that did to the best of his ability with what he did have. And he provided a home and shelter and things like that. Unfortunately, when I was about 13 or really 12, my mom had to divorce. She had to separate herself from him because, he was dealing with what we now know as PTSD. back then it was just like, oh, he's got a drinking problem and he's a lunatic. You know what I'm saying? These people are just mad.
Yeah.
But in reality, they needed help.
Correct.
You know, so we had to get away. And then at that time, my sister and I have a little brother.
How many siblings do you have?
So I have a sister who's just like a year and a half younger than me. And then I have two younger brothers who are like 15 years apart. So you're the oldest one. I am the first born. Wow. I am the oldest of my three siblings. I love them dearly. And God has done a tremendous work in them. My sister and I grew up in a lot of just things were not stable. You know, we had a lot of experiences with uncertainty. We were uncertain of where we were going to be the next month. Like, we spent some time in a battered women's shelter. Not that I never really seen my father like abuse my mother. That's a lot of people's testimony, physically at least. Mm-hmm. But verbal abuse, fear, you know, we literally were in fear that at one point, you know, I could be killed by my own father. Or my mother could be, or he might just lose it and kill someone else. Like, we didn't know, because the addiction of alcoholism is so wavering. You know, at one moment everything's fine, but then they get the right amount of drugs or right amount of alcohol in their system, and it's erratic behavior happens, and you just don't know where things might go from day to day. So
absolutely,
as a child, that's quite traumatizing, you know, and for some people, they gain a realization of its impact when they get older, but some people never do.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on living and they wonder why they make certain decisions. And it's because they never dealt with the traumas of their childhood. So that was a lot of my childhood, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear.
You know why I ask all these questions?
Yeah.
Because what you just hit right now, Prince, I'm telling you, man, there's people listening and saying, I grew up with a dad that was drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought it was PTSD. And you just opened something up for them to say, oh my goodness, wow. And that's the reason why the Mac effect is here.
Mm.
Because I want to bring healing. I want to bring development. I want to bring good times. I want to bring restoration. I want to bring salvation. I'm rapping. See, I'm a little bit like you right now.
Revelation, confirmation.
But at the end of the day, it's like, it's hitting people, man. So like right now that you're sharing that, even I'm asking, I'm like, same thing with my dad. He wasn't very abusive, but he was always drinking. And his best thing was, I provided a roof over your head and there was food.
That's it.
In your belly. I did my job.
You know,
but
Hispanic,
but
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
man.
But when it comes to the emotional part,
yeah,
you know, I grew up with not, you know, I'm building my confidence and I've shared it with you guys. I'm healing a lot of my inner child through the Mac effect because I'm building confidence with this. This Mac effect is healing something in my inner child that it's like, if you have a dream, you can shoot for your dream. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, it was more like, you just got to get to work, bro, because don't even go for those things. Just get to work. Mm-hmm. So right now that you're sharing that, I'm like, Holy Spirit, speak to us, move. But okay, keep going. So then you were saying as far as your, you know, going through all this, obviously you didn't know your dad had PTSD. We do now, but I'm sorry. I needed to share the whole people are receiving what you are sharing, but go ahead.
That's good. Yes, he dealt with his issues to the best of his ability. And by the way, I want to encourage you in what you're doing, because when you receive healing and you use media, which is a medium, right? It's a channel.
Mm-hmm.
To release and share the healing that you're receiving, you're in fact doing what God has called you to do, right? The term media is also, it's like where it's embedded in the term medicine. Like, media was meant to be medicine, is meant to bring healing. My wife and I are on board of a nonprofit organization called Heal the Waves, which has everything to do with creating media content that releases healing waves, because that's what these are. Even the colors that we chose and the blue background, like the yellow seat, like all of these things are communicating something. Our voices, this is God's spirit. This is God's ruach, right? Ruach HaKadosh, Holy Spirit, right? Speaking, it translates the electrical waves, the currents go through here. And at some point when you release it, it's going to enter someone's ears. And as they're hearing this, they get healing. Because this is God's spirit. Now we have these beautiful channels and outlets, like the enemy uses media.
Yeah, of course. But he's going to imitate.
If man, who was made in God's image and likeness, you know, had participated in creating it, then there's a God part of it. And what you're doing is redeeming it. So I applaud you, man of God, for using a platform and using the tools that you've been given to release healing. Because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
A segue.
Why do you guys think I brought him? Not to butter me up, but because there's a Holy Spirit inside of him that I can feel. And I've shared with you guys in the past, I'm not trying to bombard Christianity or a specific religion on you. No. However, I do want to share with you guys what God can do. And if he speaks to you and it's tugging at you, then let's reach out. You guys have my information. We can plug you into resources. It doesn't have to be with me. But at the end of the day, God has a purpose for you guys. There's a reason why you're probably watching and crying. There's a reason why you're probably watching and saying, I know exactly what he just said. Because God didn't build us to have life on our own. He built us to have community. Community is very normal. You're going to relate to people, but there's pain and it just ends there, or there's going to be pain with purpose. And I choose, although I didn't want the pain, I'm going to make sure my pain has purpose. No pun intended, since I have Prince Purpose here. So,
hallelujah. Yeah. I think I could fast forward a bit. So upbringing in childhood was challenging. I move into a space to where I'm teenager, young adult, right? As soon as I hit 20 years old, it's kind of funny because my dad, being an alcoholic, always wanted me to be able to go buy him a beer. Mm. But he passed away before I was 21.
Wow.
I was 20 years old when my father passed. And he was always like, hey, go get me a beer. You're not 21 yet. Like, you know.
Hurry up.
But that never got a chance to happen. I'll say this to say too, man, you know, it's never too late. My father, about a month before his passing, he actually reached out. He just spoke to me. It was very personal. It was a very personal moment. And I actually don't share this in the book, but he came to me and he said, son, I'm considering going to Alcoholics Anonymous. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
Wow.
One of the things I loved about my dad is that there were some things that he believed he had the answers to, but these deep life questions that he looked into his seed for the answers for. I think it had to do, oh man. I think it had to do with the fact that he knew what he put into me. You know, the best he could do. And because he knew that was his best, it was as if asking me was like, it was like he was speaking to the Lord, you know, because I was a product of that. So when he asked me that, you know, I can still remember the joy, like even now, of how my heart felt. I was like, whoa, yeah, that would be amazing, because this was his first step into admitting that he had
a problem
with alcohol, you know? And for somebody, this might be like really powerful, because for me, that was so important, because what I was going to say was some people might feel like your parent who had an issue maybe with alcoholism, maybe they just worked all the time, whatever it is, you might feel like they valued those things more than you. And I didn't realize that that was a part of, I suppose, my disconnect, or it was an area in which I needed healing in, mm-hmm. because I felt like alcohol was being chosen over me. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that until I got much older and I did a lot of my own healing. Because as you can imagine, you know, I shared a bit about my father's decisions. I shared a bit about my mother's decisions. But obviously, after having parents doing to the best of their ability, it caused me and doing the best they could. I credit them for that. They equipped me with certain information, but other things they didn't have. Like, you cannot give what you don't have. Like, if I ask you to give me this book without going anywhere, could you give me this book?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't because you don't have it.
Correct.
You can only give what you have. So
if you have it,
you can give it. But they didn't have it to give, you know. And
I think that's where, in a healing process, God shows you to have mercy and grace and not resentment, because I did have resentment. I'm like, my dad never showed up. My mom, what the heck? And this, and they lacked. But then God shows you, have mercy, have grace, because who taught them?
Right.
Think about their mom and dad.
Correct.
What do you think they did to them growing up? Maybe they thought they were already improving, and maybe they were improving, but we didn't know that. And I think it comes in the healing where God also shows you, like, hey, man, don't. Like, we have, I don't like saying putting your feet in other people's shoes, but definitely just try to have just grace for that person. Your dad was a boy growing up at some point, trying to figure life out as well. And then before you knew it, he's having a baby, and he's like, dude, I'm going to be a dad. And who's guiding him and helping him to tell him, this is what a good dad is going to be? Like, he's, you know, he's figuring it out. Yeah. And I don't just say it just for yours, like for mine. I think God just showed it right now. Like, we got to think our parents were kids, were us at some point, right. You know? I'm still trying to figure this out, bro.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy.
You said something in there. You said something along the lines of lack, right? Did I hear you say lack?
Somewhere around there,
yeah. So there's like a focus on lack that is distracting. Mm-hmm. When you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, they had everything. But the enemy used them and had them focus on what they perceivably didn't have.
Yeah, so good.
Like, imagine.
I see where I like it.
Think about how many fruits there are in the world. Mm-hmm. Think about how many vegetables there are in the world. Like, now, today. Like, if you go to another country, they have stuff that they just, it's like their apples and bananas, mm-hmm. and we've never even heard of it. Mm-hmm. There are countless fruits and vegetables, and all of those were available in the garden. Mm-hmm. They had access to all of them, but the enemy said, but what about that one? Mm-hmm. Like, the devil will force you into looking at what you don't have and missing out on all that you do have. Mm-hmm. And I say what you don't have is because if they talk to God, like, who knows what God was doing with that? But typically what God does is he wants to know the posture of our heart. Mm-hmm. You know, do you really want...
Preach, man.
Do you really want me? Mm. Or is there something else that your heart desires? You know, one of the things that have been paradigm shifting in my understanding of God is, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God told me that you will not have the desires of your heart prior to delighting yourself in the Lord. And any desires that you have outside of that, prior to that, stepping away from delighting yourself in the Lord, are not his desires at all. They're yours. And then sometimes you get those desires, but what you end up finding out is that they never fulfill and they never satisfy, because they did not come from God. You see, what he gives completely satisfies, makes completely whole. But what you want will only leave you wanting.
Thirsty.
And you never get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And it never satisfies. It's a lunacy. And it causes, this is like the demonic cycle of heartbreak. because you continuously want something that does not even belong to you. It doesn't even fit you. It's not even for you. You just saw it on an Instagram post and now you want it. You saw it in somebody else's life and you want it, but you never got what God wanted for you because you did not delight yourself in the Lord. And it's not like, oh, at one point in time, I used to do what, no, this is a lifestyle. What does God want in this? Mm. Not just that, it's like, what are you expecting from God? That's another thing that's been paradigm shifting in my life. And I know we're bouncing around a bit, and I left with that story with my dad. To say all that is, man, forgive me. Let me finish my point here.
Go for it.
To delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Outside of God's desires for you, you will never be content. You'll never be satisfied because our desires are only to be received from God. And it isn't until you surrender yourself to his will that you are even in position to receive what he has for you. Everything else is a chasing after the wind. Everything. Nothing. The Bible says it's all vanity. Like it's literally all about you. I was going somewhere else, and if the Lord wills, then it'll come back.
Yeah. But I get it. Yeah. One of the things, you mentioned we're kind of bouncing back and forth, and we are a little bit, but there's nuggets that God is giving us. There's food that we can taste and take away from that. Like, I'm hearing everything you're saying, and it's something that I've shared with the listeners, the viewers in the past. You know, there's a lot of things. Like, we live a life that's very complex, guys. There's our emotional intelligence, there's our background, there's where we grew up, our environment, our parents, inner child wounds that we didn't know. There's a lot of things, influences around us, the friendships that are around us, because that matters. Many variables around us. And then we have also an enemy. And this enemy, like I mentioned in one of my previous episodes, Prince, we talked about it a little bit in the beginning where we said, we become our own God. And when I see that, I tell people the point I'm trying to get to is the enemy doesn't come and talk to you in your head and say, would you like a piece of this? Or would you like to go with that woman or that man? Like, he doesn't come with that voice to try to scare you. He actually speaks in your mind with your own voice. And he says, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. How come that pastor overlooked you and put that person first? You've been there longer. Mm-hmm. And that voice sounds exactly like you, but it's, he comes at you little by little by little, sometimes very strong. It's just, there's a lot. So what you are mentioning about like delighting yourself in the Lord, it's hitting me a lot because it's like, dude, it's so true. Like, I know so many people, Prince. I've shared it in many episodes. There was an event I went to with Jackie, and they were singing. They were, all this stuff, right? And this one guy came, very famous artist, well known, definitely has money, fame. People would think this is it. He came up to me and he said, dude, you're blessed. And I said, what's up? Why? And I was a little bit like, really? Like, if I had the car you had, bro, I'd be very happy. But that's just the first thought in my head, right? But then he's like, you're blessed because you're at this event with your significant other and your children are here. Like, you guys are here as a family. He's like, I don't have my family here. It's like, I would 10 times rather be at home with my family than doing this. And you would think, bro, you're making a bunch of money. Like, what are you? You have riches and fame, which this world, my goodness, how everyone wants to be an influencer and everyone wants to be a YouTuber and everyone wants money and fame. And little do you know, once you get there and you have that, you're still going to be in a very large room, putting your head down in a pillow, saying, why do I feel empty? And I think it's a void that you just hit in the head really clean. It's like, delight yourself in the Lord, man. Mm-hmm. because I have been in a place where I've been struggling. But man, do I delight myself in the Lord still. Mm-hmm. And he's what helps me to just keep pushing through. Mm-hmm. Which, in that essence, I do want to talk a little bit more about your book, brother. Because it says PB&J. I love PB&Js. So that was very strategic. But it stands for Post Breakup and Jesus. First of all, how'd you even think of that title?
I believe it was just from the Lord. There's like, I don't take any credit. It was an idea that was influenced by the Holy Spirit. I like peanut butter and jelly also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the kind of like breakdown of it was really, it was a godsend.
And I love it because, like, see, I'm looking at the art behind it, right? Like what I showed you guys early, I'm looking at the art behind it. So peanut butter and jelly, post breakup and Jesus. But you know how everyone says, like, dude, it meshes together. Peanut butter and jelly just goes together. Post breakup and Jesus. Mm-hmm. It just meshes. Mm-hmm. It goes together. Mm-hmm. So the little bit that I've been reading, I'm like, dude, I know this book is going to be of a blessing to me, bro. How long did it take you to write it?
So I believe that the seed was given maybe in 2016.
Okay.
And it manifested in 2004, and April is when it was released.
2024.
Yeah. 2016 to 2024, yes.
Yeah.
What did I?
You said 2004.
Yeah.
I'm like, we went backwards.
You know what, though? That was kind of like, I have this on my arm. This date right here is 2005. And that was the year that I received. The Lord doesn't misspeak. 2005 was the year I received a Bible with my name written in it. Right. 6 months later, this is June 17th, which happens to land on Father's Day sometimes, is when I actually lost my father. So the word of God readied my heart. You know, that was the seed. The Bible talks about this being the most important parable that you'll ever hear. And it's the parable of the seed and the sower. And in that parable, you have four types of ground, right? You have the ground that the birds, because it's so shallow that the birds came and snatched it up. Then you have the ground where you had the thorns, right, come, and you have
where it falls like on a rock or cement, yes, or something
that's,
like
that's
that.
That's actually the extreme. That's the shallow. It's just shallow enough. You just have just enough to where it sprouts up, but it's destroyed by the worries and cares of this world. And then you have the good ground, right? I say that. That's a really cool segue because the PB&J has four chapters, and it breaks down to love, faith, identity, and purpose. Mm. And the Lord revealed to me that when it comes to heartbreak, these are the four areas that are immediately attacked. Mm-hmm. We spoke briefly earlier about in the Garden of Eden, right, where the serpent, the cunning serpent, came to Eve, and what he essentially insinuated was that you lack something. Mm-hmm. But really what was being communicated was a lack of love.
Yep.
He was communicating to Eve that there's a guile here. There's something that is being withheld from you. And man was created for love. And if we feel as though we're lacking that, then we feel like we're being shorted.
Yep.
But what the enemy really was doing was attempting to usurp the authority of man. And when I say man, I mean human. I mean mankind, because there's really only one man. By the way, human race, humankind, that's what Jesus came to redeem, were humans, were man.
Yeah.
the human race, right? So essentially that's what the enemy came to do. But the tactic that was used was to convince the human race that they were not loved by God. Because like we said earlier, like you can't give what you don't have. So if you could take the idea out of humans that they're not loved by God, then you can just do whatever you want to do. And we see a lot of that in the world system today. Mm-hmm. It's full of people doing whatever they want to do. And what they're finding is that they're not fulfilled, right? They're not satisfied. So love is the first chapter, which is the bread. Faith is the second chapter, which is the peanut butter. Identity is the third, which is the jelly. And the fourth chapter is actually bread again, because it's purpose. And love and purpose, by the way, they're one and the same, because we're purposed to love. That's actually who we are. Like, that is the essence of who God is. That is the essence of our core purpose. That's why you find people run rampant, like trying to identify what their purpose is. Like, I got to know my purpose. You need to know you're loved by God. And then once you really have an understanding that you're loved by God,
so good, bro.
Then you're equipped and capable of loving others.
So good.
Outside of that, you're just going to find yourself chasing the wind.
Yep.
She won't satisfy. Mm-hmm. He won't satisfy. Mm-hmm. Nothing you could get, stuff, and do things, mm-hmm. but none of it fulfills, because we are only satisfied in our purpose.
Yep.
And our purpose is to be loved and love.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Again, the nugget that I'm taking away from that is I'm hearing you and I'm like, okay, God, speak. What are you trying to show me? I look at different things. I look at normal people, bad people, drug dealers, gangsters. Everyone at some point is looking for love. Mm-hmm. Like even the worst person in this world at some point wants to go to their house and have their loved one there embrace them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wait, if they have such evil in their heart where they can just murder someone but then come home and then still want to receive love from somebody, you're right, we're purposed to love. Mm-hmm. Everyone in this world, whether they want to admit it or they don't want to admit it, they are seeking love. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we seek it in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And what we should seek it at is with God, with a relationship with Jesus, with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because when you find that one, you learn to love yourself, but you learn to, then your earthly relationship is beautiful and all, don't get me wrong, amazing, but it's not what satisfies the true depth of you. It's, you know, and I love the chapters that you're saying. You mentioned it took you 2016, 2024, 8 years in the making. And you speak about breakups, not just in general, like just you losing your father or losing someone. I mean, you went through a breakup also in a marriage that you had. But I know it's not just in these two type of relationships. It's in relationships in general. It's mother daughters, father sons, brother sisters, siblings, many relationships. Where did the knowledge for you to write this book come from? Like, to fill all these pages up with wisdom, everything of what Prince is.
It came from I mentioned in 2005, 6 months before I lost my father, I came I was invited to, I'll say this, a prayer service at a high school, I want to say. Might have been a high school, by a college professor at Santa Monica College. Never met her before. She was a professor at a college that my sister attended, and
that's a mouthful.
after the service, in which I was like half high, I was like falling asleep. I was just like, I went to church because I felt like it was a moral thing to do. I was just, you know, I was a loss in my early 20s, in my like very early 20s, because I actually came to the Lord when I was 22, so I must have been like 19 or something. But this woman, actually, I was 20. 19, 20. Anyway, somewhere around there, she gave me this Bible. And when my father passed away, I had access to what I now know to be life itself. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the living word. And it also says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the written word, the logos, is the nature, like we talked about earlier, of God himself. So the wisdom for me came in and through the word of God. It is the irrefutable, the undisputed, all-powerful, all-knowing,
undefeated
champion. It's the living, the living word, the written word of God. It is falling in love with that word for me. I'm talking, when I say falling in love, when I came to know the Lord in the year 2008, which we met somewhere maybe around 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there, I was introduced to life. It says that before we surrendered to Christ, we were actually enemies of God. It says we were once darkness, now we are the light of the Lord in Christ Jesus. I fell in love with that word, and I have not stopped falling deeper in love with the written word of God.
Really quick, Prince. Did you ever question, like, any other religion, or this was something that just you felt it in your heart and you're like, hey, I don't even want to ask, you know, other religions?
I actually spent some time at Fuller Seminary studying religion. I also spent many years of just studying religions in general. I'm also an evangelist at heart. So anybody who's interested to know about God, do what the Bible says. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them, making disciples, and teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I spent my time, Matthew chapter 28, sharing the gospel to the best of my ability with the revelation that I had. And I began to learn about other religions. And really, it's not so much other religions. There are not a lot. Whew, Jesus. The Lord is saying this now. There's not a lot of people that are actually practicing the religion that's written as is. Most people have created their own God. And you know, this is what the Bible says. It says, you will become like the God in which you worship. Most people worship. If you study the ancient gods like the Baals and the Astra and various forms of gods, if you will, they're all in essence happening in today. And in one way or another, people are worshiping the gods of knowledge, of information, and they've created their own gods. Most people have created their own gods, and that is the God that they worship. But this is the problem. Those gods don't actually exist. They don't breathe. Mm-hmm. They're not living. Mm-hmm. They're dead. Mm-hmm. So what happens is they become like them. It says that when we received Christ, we once had a heart of stone, which is, in essence, stone is something that God created, but he did not breathe his breath into, right? His Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, he breathed into man.
Yeah.
And that man is the man Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth.
Yeah, amen.
So if and when we surrender and yield and worship the Lord, that is when we actually become alive. So I was once dead, and I came to life.
Amen. Amen. Guys, it's crazy, Prince, because I've hit many different, I have different episodes. One of my episodes is walking through the chaos. Another episode is finding your identity. Like many different things, right? Which it can go on and on and on and on and on. But like what you're saying right now is, I mentioned it, and I don't know what episode exactly. I think it was, I'm going to have to get back to you guys on that one. But there was an episode where I said, you know, you have, and it's biblical. It's in the Bible. But this is where my lack of knowledge, and I have to learn the Bible, let it be a home to my heart, where the Bible says, when you die to yourself, you actually live. But when you live, you actually die. Hmm. And that's the place where I know God is hitting this generation. The problem is you're so consumed with living you that's why everything around you dies, including yourself. But when you learn to die to yourself, to the ego, to the pride, to what I want, to the net worth, to the things, that's when true life comes, because you start seeing things like, wow, like just you start valuing just the little things, dude. Like I don't know, like the first thing that comes to my head is like a parent that is willing to say, I'm hungry, but my kids are hungry. This goes to my kids. Mm-hmm. Like an act of love. And what is love? Love is God. And it's like, dang, I don't know. I kind of lost myself mm-hmm. there, but it's like it all just comes back to that love, mm-hmm. pure love, not the self me love.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what love is,
yeah.
in essence. You know, it's God. Love is what was communicated to us on the cross.
Yes.
Right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Yep.
That if anyone would believe in him, they would not perish,
but have
everlasting life. It essentially comes in receiving in what was done for you. And you can't receive anything again if your hands are already full. Yep. You already have what you want.
Mm.
But God is saying, grab hold of me and you'll actually have what you really want. Mm. Because fulfillment is only in him. Yeah. It's only found in Christ.
Amen.
You know, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies.
Yeah.
Right? So there is a death that's required. And that's going back to what we were saying regarding, I was once darkness, now I am the light of the Lord in Christ Jesus. Like, it's not until he enters the vessel.
Amen.
That it becomes whole.
Amen.
You know, and that's essentially what everybody wants. The topic that's being dealt with in PB&J is really wholeness.
Where can people find PB&J?
Right now it's just on Amazon.
Okay.
This is an initial version. Lo and behold, it takes a lot to go into writing a book. And I really encourage people, you know, healing is a process because of there's so much access to platforms and writing and all this sort of stuff. Go through your process. One of the reasons you asked me what gave me the knowledge, I mentioned the Word of God, 100% Word of God. Yet you could just read the Bible and you can get the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the revelation that God has given me through my experiences. But I am applying the principles that I received through the Word of God and living them out. And God has given me revelation.
Amen.
To write them down.
Yes.
Now, they're most of the topics that I touch on. Like, I touch on some very serious topics, things like pornography, masturbation. These things are essentially pathways and portals, really, to a demonic realm. We spoke earlier about the nature of man, and the nature of man is self-satisfying, self-gratifying, self-satisfying again. It's all about self.
Me, me, me.
It hates the fact that you would have to wait for something, right? And so what I've found is that pornography, masturbation, these perverted versions of fulfillment, they cause an unnatural character trait to develop inside of God's perfect design. Like, we were made fearfully and wonderfully designed to have this love is patient, love is kind. We were made in God's image and his likeness. And once you allow these demonic things into your life, it perverts your view of yourself, mm-hmm. the world around you, and the people that God has placed in front of you. You're no longer looking at another person, a God's child. One of the most precious experiences that I had when I got delivered from masturbation, addiction to pornography and all this sort of stuff. It's been many years, bro. Like, when I say, like, I think that everyone, especially a man, especially maybe in our age group or whatever, but most people will have some form of like attack of lust on their minds, right? But there's one thing to just have a random thought and then you go to Jesus. It's another thing to entertain that thought and then to take that thought home and then to look up on the internet and, you know, I don't even know how it goes. I've been so far. I don't even know what it's like anymore, but I can only imagine, you know, subscriptions. I could just imagine. It's just gross.
OnlyFans.
Right. It's just, it can go really deep. Like, but when you open that demonic portal, it literally opens up so much darkness and evil that, you know, eventually and essentially it takes you over. You can get, the Bible calls it what's called a debased mind. Like you can, and your heart can become warped to where you can't even receive God because you no longer have a heart of flesh. You now have a heart of stone.
Yeah.
And when God's trying to speak to you, you can't hear because you've perverted your imagination. The imagination is meant to be kept holy.
And I didn't want to, you know, I know we've been going for a little bit over an hour or so, give or take, but I didn't want to cut that thought off, brother, because I have an episode where I discuss this, where I say the wages of sin are death. That's what the Bible says. And you would think that infidelity, yes, that's a sin. And that sin is going to bring death to your relationship as well. Yes, 100%. But so is pornography. So this,
that, to God.
This thing of like, this one weighs more, this one weighs less. No, we have to own it. We have to understand that it's something that, you know, I've shared with many of you guys. You guys can go back, look at that episode, not to that depth, but it's so good to understand. Like, look, sometimes you might not understand the depths of what it is, but if God is telling you that that's just not a thing to do, and even if it doesn't, you don't understand it, just know that there's a reason why he's telling you not to do it. Like, there's a reason why he tells you deny yourself and pick up your cross. There's a reason why he's telling you stop thinking about yourself and live for others. There's a reason why he gets on his knees and he washes his disciples' feet. Because it is not about you. It's about the people. It's about love. Like, when you die, you bring life. Man, and I harp on that because it's just so true. But when you try to live is when you bring in death. Man, brother, like I love the fact that you're mentioning all these things. And even I know you were sharing with me just right now about quotes that you have on your book by Prince Purpose.
Yeah, any that stand out to you, I wanted to just like.
Yeah, yeah, which is great stuff, man. Like one of them here says, love isn't a word, but an action.
Yeah.
I love that. That's good. Then you have another one here by C.S. Lewis. God loves us not because we're lovable, because he is love. Mm-hmm. Not because he needs to receive, but because he delights to give. Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh. Good stuff right there, guys. So I'm going to put on the screen there, guys, the Amazon link where you guys can go ahead and look for his book. Grab it if you guys can. Show some love. Prince, I mean, the time goes by so fast. I want to share from my heart to yours, and I share this to many guests. When you take time to come on the Mac Effect, it's healing an inner child in me. So I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, thank you for investing. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for sharing your story. I loved hearing it, and I know there's more. I know we can go on for more. If God one day tells me to bring Prince back for a part two, let's do it. Part three, whatever the case is, but just a little bit that we got right now, bro, I don't lie. It's genuinely God has really taken me to a place where he's like, listen, enough with the being fake. That's going to get you so far. Be transparent. Be vulnerable. Let the world see me through you. And I share that with you, that I can see God through you, bro.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for letting him. Thank you for being a vessel of his love.
Hallelujah. Yeah. If I could share one last thing.
Yeah, yeah.
On the topic of love, I share this in the book. And whenever I have an opportunity to minister on the book and just regarding the love, faith, identity, and purpose, when I talk about love, I ask people this question. Does love have an opposite?
I think so.
What is it?
Hate.
So, what God has revealed to me is that is incorrect. Because if it's not, if you don't have hate, you can't have love. Does God hate?
Yeah.
He does. So, how could that be the opposite of love?
True.
Because there's no opposite. Does God have an equal?
No equal.
There's no equal to God. And God is love. Therefore, the last one we talked about, love is patient, love is kind. Love, the last thing in there is this, love cannot fail. So what the enemy attempts to do is take us on the opposite side of love. If we stay on the side of God, with God, all things are possible, and those who are on his side cannot fail, because love is incapable of failing. The victory is in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is love. God is love. Find some things that God loves. Find some things that God hates. Proverbs talks about he hates those who shed innocent blood. You know, that has to do with gossip, backbiting. Jesus said that murdering your brother is the same as hating him. Mm. Is there anyone that you hate? Anyone that you haven't found, that you haven't forgiven? God hates that. He hates unforgiveness. Forgive. Mm-hmm. Forgive doesn't mean reconcile always. Mm-hmm. It could just be, hey, you know what? I release that person. I'm not going to hold that person captive in my heart. I can't allow. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Mm-hmm. I can't allow any space or place in my heart to be occupied by hatred for someone else or unforgiveness for someone else. I need my heart reserved solely for Jesus.
Amen. Man.
Right. And if Jesus is in there, does he want your children in there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does he want your spouse in there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does he want friendship? And no, that's all that he wants in there. So I say all that to say, get familiar with what God's views are on these very essential things: love, faith, identity, and purpose. Sure, you know, live your life, pursue what you believe God has. But I'm telling you, it's all in the written word of God. Now, the book is not necessarily a shortcut, but some of the revelation that I've received have been through hardships that I had to experience and endure. And I believe it really is, in some ways, a shortcut to those things if you'll just receive it at face value and say, this is a man of God. He loves Jesus, and this has been revealed to him. Now, precept is built upon precept. Revelation is built upon a revelation. So you've got to have a basic understanding, which is God loves me. God's love cannot fail. God's love has no equal, right? So remember this. Hate is not the opposite of love, because there is no opposite of love, because there's no opposite of God. Yep. That means he has no competition. So if you stay on the side of love, you stay on God's side, you can't fail. You don't have to defend yourself.
On to it.
You stay on God's side. God fights for you. Love cannot fail. You just love. Yep. The Bible says if your neighbor takes your jacket off, you give them your shirt too. You know what that does? That embarrasses them. That says to that says when people look at that from a distance, they're like, whoa, what's wrong with that person? Why are they giving them their shirt? Why are they even taking that person's shirt? What's wrong? Are they crazy? Yeah. They end up looking like the person that's in the wrong. And what I am saying is that, man, love just gives everything. It's not even living for this life. I'm not living for this life because I do believe in eternity. I believe that heaven is real. Mm-hmm. And my desire is heaven.
So good.
I'm not delighting myself in anything here. My delight is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's why I get the desires of my heart, which is to live in his love, to walk in faith, to know my identity, and to live purposed.
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. Amen. I will tell you to just mic drop and walk out of here, but these are expensive mics. Don't drop the mics, man. But Prince, thank you so much, man. It's been a blessing. Guys, if you guys have questions, comments, concerns, comment. Comment, share, subscribe, like, all that stuff. You guys are going to have my email address. I always post it there. Any questions that you have for him, I can forward those over to him as well. Prince, where can people find you just so that I can put your information on there as well?
Man, everything is Prince Purposed. Prince, P-U-R-P.
It's okay.
S-E-D. How could I not spell it? I'm being silly right now. It's Prince Purposed, princepurpose.com. You can find the book. You can also get in contact with me and just like connected to any sort of bookings. I also do music. This God is Good is a record that I have out right now. I don't know
Beautiful.
If you got a chance to hear it. God is good.
No,
God
I haven't.
God is gracious. God is love. It's so amazing. I know I'm loved. I know I'm favored. I know I'm purposed. I know I'm anchored. Ain't worried about nothing. I got my Savior. Don't believe. Still can't replace him. Can't delete him. Can't erase him. Jubilee. Rock of Ages. He's the Anyway,
I love
you
it.
Can check out God Is Good. That's available on all streaming platforms right now. A lot of new music that's coming out, as well as new material, books, you know. And then I just love to encourage people and creating community around purpose, around love.
I love it.
It's, you know, www.princepurpose.com.
I now put all that information on there for you guys. So with that being said, Prince,
my brother,
thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. Amen. I hope God spoke. Great episodes, more to come. God bless you guys. I'll see you guys next week. The Mac Effect, out. Peace.
Blessings.